Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. Yes, I'm going to start talking. This is Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills and Nash. Fantastic classic for you. And now, I think I can say this. It's our classic counsellor, Lisa Thompson. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Classic. In referring to classic, does that mean by age?
Well, it's because now you're one of the long running counsellors. There's how many new ones now?
Nine. There are new
new counsellors.
Yep, nine new counsellors.
So you're one of the old hands, and in fact,
Janet Gibb and Jackie Church have got the most years. Janet's into her fourth term. Jackie started in 2012, and then Eugene and I, between us, we are into our third term.
That's Eugene Patterson.
Yeah. From Ngāru Wahia. And Carolyn Eyre is into her second term.
Okay.
So Crystal Beavis, who is one of the newer councillors from Tamahere, she was a staff member, so she worked in our comms. So she has a depth of knowledge around the behind-the-scenes business of council.
That's handy. Because you were talking to me before the election saying that it takes a long time as a new councillor to really get your feet under the table and
it does because it's such a massive
land.
It's such a massive business, and there's many moving parts to it. So just understanding it, you know, my first term, as I've mentioned before, Aaron, you know, I didn't know anything about dust particles or light
aluminium. Dust particles.
Yeah, you know, to consider those, you know, for resource consent or light aluminiums for industrial areas. I had no idea. You know, I knew about rubbish and roads and things like that. But there is a spectrum of mahi that needs to be undertaken, you know, from our infrastructure to our policy and regulatory, you know, to the simple things of, you know, we will be having our consultation for the Freedom Camping Bylaw Review. There's the parks, the reserves review that's up for consultation at the moment. So there's many moving parts in it. It's exciting. There's some really neat councillors. I've enjoyed getting to know the newer councillors. So that's been neat. I had a great day with Tilly Turner, who is one of our Māori wards.
She's the councillor for the Māori ward for for this area. Yeah.
For the head of the fish, you know. So she's got a big job ahead of her, but it was lovely to be able to participate and take part in our community board swearing in on Tuesday and to welcome both Ross and Tilly as new board members.
Yeah.
So that was neat. And so prior to the board meeting, Tilly and I had an impromptu little workshop at the Ho Order Hub at the Kōkiri with Mike Edmonds and some of his team, which was great. So
she's got an interesting task ahead of her because she's got to cover a large area.
She does, and so that's where
of little communities everywhere.
Yep, and that's where you know, us as the councillors come in to support her and to enable her to be able to do that mahi across such a vast ward.
Yeah.
How do we do that? We're still yet to work it out, but it's things like we did on Tuesday to have that little workshop, you know, supporting her and her supporting me with her knowledge. So I'm really excited about that. And we've got some, we've got quite a diverse crew around the decision-making table, mostly women,
It's a profoundly different council. I've been saying to this, profoundly different to the council I first met in 2006.
That's right. And isn't that neat that over time you've noticed that the change in the makeup of council and the diversity? So that's exciting. So I'm looking forward to working more with our fellow councillors. We've got a Zone 2 meeting tomorrow, which is Zone 2 is made up of various councils, including the regional, district and city councils in our zone, which is mostly the Waikato region. So we've got that at Karapiro tomorrow. So looking forward to meeting new councillors and also obviously councillors who have come back again as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we haven't yet got committee chairs. That's next week that decision's
been
made?
Yeah, that will be coming out very shortly.
How does that work? Because I just sort of understand the mayor chooses them, but then it kind of goes through council to approve anyway.
It's actually up to the mayor to decide the committees of council and the chairs and the deputy chairs.
How many committees are there? Can you rattle them off the top of your head?
Well, we had policy and regulatory, strategy and finance, We also had a full council.
Yeah, we've got an infrastructure.
And infrastructure. Those were our four main council committees. And then, of course, we've got audit and risk.
Yeah.
It's because we have our sub-regulatory committees as well. And then under the, you know, and then we've got our solid waste, our climate change or climate action. And then there's our regional committees as well, which are the things like Future Proof, the Waikato.
Oh, that's with regional. Other councils.
Yeah, so there are all of those other networks outside of the normal business of council.
And you've been, I presume, in your.
And then we've got our JMA, our joint management agreement with Waikato Tainui.
Oh, so there's more.
And then there's the MOUs. And then there are other, there are actually quite a lot of subcommittees.
This is why I hear from your daughter that you're always in meetings.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I'm actually not, you know, those are the meetings for council, but I'm not really on any of the wider regional committees other than the joint management agreement and participating in the regional housing initiative now and again. So my portfolio, so to speak, isn't that wide. Most of the mahi that I do is whaingaroa focused anyway. And a lot of the stuff I do as well isn't directly a council function, but I take that on board as part of my role, like the community safety and crime prevention working group. That's something I do in my role as councillor, but it's not for council as such. Or
you're not required to by
I'm not required
local
to
body
by
act or anything like that.
Or by my delegations as in council. Those are the mahi that I just do anyway.
I think you've been involved with the, especially the climate change and solid waste action at council in the past, so probably continue with that, you expect?
Yes, I really want to. Those are some of my passions, is the climate.
As a councillor, I know the mayor appoints the chairs of all these committees and subcommittees and things, but as a councillor, can you just volunteer to be on any of them?
You can volunteer to be on any of them. On the subcommittees, you don't want the whole of all councillors doing it. It's more where your interests lie or where you want to learn more about certain aspects of what we do, or helping to shape, you know, our solid waste program, what that looks like, you know. So if you have a desire or a real interest in participation. So, you know, I was thinking, oh, audit and risk is a bit dry, but actually that's a key part of one of our subcommittees because it looks at, you know, the risk to council.
Well, we've seen what happens to councils in the past.
If you don't consider that. And, of course, there's the Water Governance Board, but as councillors we don't sit on that. It's our chief executive, but we can go in and listen to the corridor when they have their meetings. So I have more of an interest to actually go along and listen to the Waters Governance Board corridor, because I think that's very apt in terms of our three waters provision. And I will be sitting in, not as a committee member, but as someone to listen into the audit and risk of this triennium, and I'll continue on our solid waste and our climate committee as well.
Now, you mentioned the word delegations there, and something that was talked about a lot during the elections by all the mayoral candidates and lots of people was about delegating powers to the community boards beyond. Folks, if you don't know, the community board's only actual power where they get the final say is over the discretionary fund, which is about $14,000 a year. Do you know if anything's, any rumblings about that? Anything going to happen
there?
We
haven't had a discussion, but certainly it's something that we will need to look at, because as you know, Aaron, in the last triennium, our community board put forward some amendments to the charter for our community board and some of the delegations. So we're yet to consider those, because we actually haven't had a full council meeting or any committee meetings, because we haven't established those yet. So we've been unable to do that. And I guess the focus for council right now, well, since the elections, have been we couldn't really do much for a couple of weeks until we were all sworn in, so the inauguration. Yeah. And then from that point onwards has been the induction process, of which we have had an induction on the 101 of council. You know, we've done some team building, an introduction to our executive staff, and then there has also been on Monday, which I was unable to attend because I was in Wellington. We had our chairs training, so I think that went really well. Some of my fellow councillors said that was a lot of fun because it was interactive and also looking into standing orders, conflicts of interest as well, and a code of conduct, all of those sorts of things. So we had that last week. So we've been doing the inductions, so I'm really looking forward to when the committees are announced and that we can get back into the work and mahi that we need to get done.
So has it been a little bit of a holiday in some regards around the election? Probably not leading up to it.
Not leading up to the elections. That's actually quite stressful for everyone involved, campaigning. And, you know, one minute you could be in and the next minute you could be out. So, you know, that is quite stressful. So, and then there's the, I guess, the pregnant pause before you hit the ground running again. And that's where we've been in that space. Until,
so it's not entirely relaxing because you know that things are about to hit, but you're just waiting.
We've got a huge amount of work that needs to be undertaken, you know, from, you know, as I mentioned before, we've got some of our consultation, you know, with the Freedom Camping Bylaw Review, the reserves management, amongst two of the big ones, and then of course there'll be planning for the next long-term plan for 2024, the next tranche of that, and we'll be working on that from the new year in 2023 right through to look at what that looks like. And then there's just the everyday work that we need to get done from all of our infrastructure projects. So we've got a lot to do, and of course locally the community board looking at what our workload will be, and there'll be the continuation of the Wharf project and, you know, continuing the discussions with our stakeholder groups around the reserves management, all of those sorts of things. So although we've had a hiatus, I suppose, I do call it that pregnant pause and that breath that we take before getting rolling up our sleeves and getting the mahi done.
Yeah, so we had the first community board meeting on Tuesday. You nominated Dennis Amore for chair.
That's right.
Or Dennis Amore, as some of the staff were calling him. Made him sound French, but
yeah,
Dennis is not French.
Yeah.
You were happy to nominate Dennis, obviously?
Yep, I was happy because for me it made sense. He has been the deputy chair for the last triennium. He's worked really hard. Mm. And, you know, he's respected within the community by many parties, including Hapu. And, you know, it's that continuity to have him step into that role as the chair, because him and Gabriel obviously have worked really hard together, and that he's created really good relationships with both the community and staff and fellow councillors. Actually,
I think Gabriel was in the audience at the meeting. At one point, she was near enough to me. I could hear I really wanted to say something, but she wasn't allowed to anymore because she's now just a member of the public. It was
we did have a little laugh yesterday when I caught up with her about today. I asked her, did you miss it? And she said, no, actually, it felt good not to be involved.
Oh, really?
Because,
okay.
You know, she'll still be involved in her capacity as a RAGDA Naturally Coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, a handover from the work that has been done over the last 3 years to Dennis and the board. And it's satisfying to know that, you know, we've got that continuity in the board, and that also we've got Ross Wallace and an extra board member, with Tilly Turner being sworn in her capacity as the Māori board councillor.
So effectively an extra board member.
And that's exactly
and
right.
And she's on how many community boards? Two or three, something like that? She's certainly going to have a busy old time.
She's on three community boards.
Right.
Yeah, Taupiri, Ngārua Wāhia and Raglan, and then community committee for Tamahere as well. Yeah, so it's a massive ward and a big workload, but she's up for it. And she'll be well supported by her fellow councillors across the district. They're really looking forward to working with her.
Yeah, yeah. And we had Chris Rayner as deputy chair.
Yeah, Chris got deputy chair, and he was very keen to do that, so that's great to have him sitting alongside Dennis.
It's a hard thing thinking about it, like in some ways, and I don't mean that this is not negative toward Dennis at all, there might not have been anyone else who was able to do it because he's retired and he's got time. And like I think he'd be really good at it. But it's that thing of remuneration for community boards is so poor that it's quite hard to put adequate time into it.
Yeah, and Dennis has put significant time, and we actually put that in our proposed charter changes around the remuneration of, you know, the chair and or a secretary.
Yeah.
So, you know, because effectively both Gabriel and Dennis in the previous trainee were, I guess, in the roles of a consultant in one way, you know, brokering the relationships, continuing with that work program, particularly around you looked at the Places for People and the Wharf Project, you know, so they are not insignificant amounts of work. And then the re-engagement with the key stakeholders for, you know, our reserves,
yeah,
that takes significant amount of time and energy to progress that on, you know, less than a cent an hour or whatever it is. So there needs to be consideration of that. And so that was how we determined we could devolve more power to our community board specifically, but I don't think it can be a carte blanche, one size fits all across the district for community boards. There may be options that if they could step up into a different space, then it would look like this.
It depends on the individuals,
yeah,
doesn't it?
And it depends on the community boards and their capacity and their desire. What they want to do, what are the projects, because our board's really proactive.
That's what I was going to say. It has been very proactive over the last 3 years especially.
Over the last two terms, I would say, you know, and so...
But not the other community boards in the district, less so? Because I don't know them, I just kind of get a feel that that might be the case.
Their capacities are less so, and they haven't probably been as brave or as... as we have been, and so I think that there is definitely opportunity for cross-pollination of the community boards. And I know that, you know, Bob and I always had that desire to be able to work more closely with community boards, but, you know, life gets in the way and the resourcing as well, having that time and energy. And I think
that comes back to the remuneration.
Yeah, the remuneration or the resourcing of being able to enable that. So, you know, talking with Vern, who's one of the councillors from Tuakau Pōkeno, he was on the community board up there, and Candy Ngātaki, who also was on the community board in the north. Now they've stepped into the councillor roles. Vern is very keen to work with the Raglan Community Board to have some learnings around how, in their role as councillors, can they enable their community boards and come up with, excuse me, a work program that is achievable for the board and supporting them in doing that.
Was it their board up there that didn't get enough candidates at the election?
Right.
So they're going to have another re-election.
A by-election. In order to fill those seats. So, and I think they'll be able to do that better with Candy and Vern having an understanding on, you know, the work that the board can achieve. So I'm sure they'll be able to shoulder tap people to stand.
I imagine
for that
they'll be going to do that, yeah.
And so that's something that they will need to do, so... watch that space. So there's a real desire from the newer councillors to empower their own community boards and work closely with them.
Yeah.
After watching the model that we've got in Raglan.
Do you think with we've got the new mayor and we've got many new councillors that there will be a significant change to the council?
There's in what way? I mean, it's a significant.
Well, I'm not really sure in what way. There's different people. Like I was saying before, in 2006, I first went to the council, and it was most of the councillors were retired farmers, retired white farmers, and it's not commenting on whether they're good at the job or not, but just the diversity thing has completely changed. We've got five Māori women, lots of women.
I think just by virtue of the enormous change that you've got nine new councillors with a new mayor and new deputy mayor, just by virtue of those changes, inevitably, it changes culture. What that impact is on council itself is yet to be seen, because we actually haven't met as full council in our capacity as governance until our first council meeting. So, you know, where the waka will go will be dependent on, you know, what we identify and how our fellow councillors respond to the mahi that's put in front of us, and then how we shape that over time will really depend on how we come together as a team,
yeah.
and that we understand our strengths and our weaknesses, and what do we desire? What is it that we want to get out of these next 3 years? And what is really achievable, because we've already got work programs set in place?
Well, that's the thing. The staff will be like, okay, this is halfway through. This is three quarters of the way. This has just started. We've got to keep doing it.
So we've got experienced counsellors who have a grounding and an understanding of that, with a whole new set of fresh eyes who will have their own desires moving forward. And so that's something that we're going to have to work on. And what impact that will have on the business is yet to be seen.
So let's talk about voter turnout. We weren't the worst.
And we weren't the best. We were the best in the last...
We were the 10th, 9th from the bottom.
Yeah, and you know, we were the best... You know, we're the highest turnout in the last triennium. And
are you talking about our ward?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we were second from the top this time, just by 0.2%, very close with Huntly.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about the district overall compared to the rest of the country.
It's disappointing. Look, it's disappointing across New Zealand, you know, the voter turnout. And, you know, a lot probably can be put down to the paper electoral system as well, you know. And so that needs a new lens, and that needs to be addressed before the next elections, because it's not good enough. And so we also have to think about how we're going to engage people, and you know, and how we do that. I'm not sure, but our local government, New Zealand, is certainly looking at that. And of course, if you've had the opportunity, Aaron, to read the draft for the future of local government that was released last Friday.
Not all of it.
No, I know, because it's not an easy document.
280 pages or something. But I've had a look at the executive summary at the start.
So there's some good suggestions there. So that's open for consultation until February for feedback. And of course, there'll be some kickback, because there's a lot about co-governance, working with hapu and iwi, you know, in a more meaningful way. But there's also about participatory democracy, so getting people participating in democracy and the challenges in there. Because, honestly, local government is where you can make a difference.
I know. And that's something that's really clear to me sitting here.
And so it is the place that you can make a difference. And, yes, it is a bureaucracy. And, yes, we're bound by the local government to act and various other things. But you can make a proactive difference, and so we really have to shine a light on what we can do and the benefits of participating in democracy, the benefits of participating in consultation processes, you know. So we have to look at doing things differently and getting people out to vote.
Something that was interesting in there was that they were talking about citizens assemblies, I think that's the phrase, where instead of getting they're advised by experts, but a collection of people from the community, given the time, the and the information,
and the resourcing,
and the resources,
and
they make
right.
the decisions. So that's really interesting. We had a discussion with John about what's happened with experts in the managerial class, and how, even though they're experts, somehow decisions can be made really well by non-experts. And I'd be very, very interested to see where that goes, if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, same. And that's quite exciting. So, you know, like I said, it's only in the draft form, and we've yet to have discussions around that. But I think there was some really great content in that draft report.
So when will the final thing come out? Because one of the things they're saying is four-year terms, and they're also talking about potentially a massive change of the structure of local government, as in all the councils might be different.
Well, like I said, it's out for consultation until February, so feedback from the various councils, and obviously it would be open to communities as well. So I don't know to be honest, I haven't actually looked at what that time frame is.
I know it's really early, and they've been really clear that this is a draft and it's ideas, and they expect it to change.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a long way.
There's
a long way to go.
Yeah, of course. And when you're looking at, because some of those are quite transformative that they've put in there, so there will be kickback. Just look at the three waters and the idea of co-governance.
Oh, I know.
And the content in that draft report.
The ACT Party
for some
will
council,
get, it,
yeah,
get
for
its
some,
teeth into it,
that's
I'm afraid.
Exactly right. You know, and so it's so at the whim of the political, you know, the political sometimes it's a little bit depressing with, you know, without actually letting communities actively participate in that draft.
That's
and I
the
suppose
real key.
It's incumbent upon us as elected members to really disseminate that information and get people to talk about it, ask us questions, have a workshop on it, you know, and ask people what it is that they really truly want. And then it was interesting, Tilly asked the group that we worked with on Tuesday, how do you see council supporting what you do? And there was a blank look around the table like, we don't see council having a role in the mahi that we do. And it was like, oh, why is that? You know, because actually there is a lot of opportunity from our infrastructure, if it's around our marais, looking at, you know, our marais on gravel roads. And when, you know, you might have a tangihana or you might have a pokai where you have 300, 400, 500 people come and then the dust from the roads going into the water supply, all of those sorts of things. So we can actually influence better outcomes for our community. So we had a chat about that. And, yeah, so we've got to change that narrative and we've got to do it. And, you know, for me, I'd like to try and do that more and engage and get our community to engage with council in a more meaningful way over the next 3 years and put that as a goal.
I think that devolving of powers to as low a level as you can get away with, my way of putting it, is really important. Like there was three different structures they proposed for how councils might fit in terms of regional council, councils and community boards and all that kind of thing. And I was like, I'm not that interested in that. I want to know more about, is the power being devolved as low as it can so the people on the ground can be making the decisions?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some decisions have to be made at a higher level, you know, like the water stuff.
And I think it's looking at the work streams within in a local context. Say, what is it that are the three key things perhaps that a community board wants to achieve and have also the ability and the freedom to act at pace should something come up? For example, like the tourism infrastructure fund application, of which, you know, we got just under $1 million, and that was done really quickly and at pace with the community board, with the business chamber, where we were able to have success in that. And now we're seeing that being put on the ground with the footpath out to Rocket, you know, the continuation of that.
So that's about having you guys all your structure's already there, you as the councillor of the community board, you're in touch with what's going on.
But you also have to have the staff.
When someone says we got some money, what do you want to do?
Well, there's an opportunity to apply for that.
Yeah.
Where are the projects that we already have that we can push the green button on?
Yeah.
And so it's having an understanding what in our local context is coming up, what are the opportunities and how do we fit that puzzle together? You know, so if the Tourism Infrastructure Fund, as an example, we know that there's a desire to have connected walkways and cycleways. So connecting that to A and B. So we were able to do that quickly because we've done the work from Papahua through to Rocket. So joining those dots together to make a proper application for funding outside of the normal council funding mechanisms that we were able to do. So it's having an understanding on what that looks like because I don't think the community board wants to be involved in every decision within the community, you know, around the allocation of where the roading will be for the unsealed network, you know, the upgrades on that work program. Have an understanding of it, but, you know, do you want to say over that? I don't know. Those are discussions that we need to have.
Yeah, it's that on the ground local knowledge that seems to make a significant, from my perspective, makes a significant difference.
It does.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to our councillor Lisa Thompson, back for her third term, and the next community board meeting, December 14th, was it?
Yeah, I'll just check something on like that. My diary.
But also, I know Lisa's got a council meeting next week. I think on the
December 14th.
Okay, and a council meeting next Wednesday when all the committee chairs will be appointed and delegations and things. I don't quite understand the details, but that sort of stuff will happen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that'll be our first meeting of council, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Back into the mahi of it all.
Well, thank you for coming in, Lisa.
Thank you, Aaron, and thanks for being patient because I was late.
Oh, sorry, I just played some music. It's all good. Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, folks, we reached the end of the show. Gone over a little bit, but I wanted to catch up with Lisa about all those things. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, Friday morning. See you then.